Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast looked down upon us in our need, and Thou hast seen us in our sin, and hast sent one to save us from our sins and deliver us out of our difficulties and our troubles by bringing us into Thy will. We thank Thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray now as we study Thy word that Thou wilt take the things of Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we come now to where we have reported the call of another one of the apostles. In chapter 9, verse 9, a very simple statement. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, the way that reads, you could think, it is the first time he'd come by there. But as you consider the matter some, and the whole matter of following the Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize that it's not necessary to think that Matthew had never heard him speak. It's not necessary to think that Matthew was unaware of both the preaching, the teaching, and the working, the miracle working of Jesus of Nazareth. What is important to see is that the call came at a specific time, while he was doing just his regular work. When you say that Jesus saw a man, does not mean he saw him for the first time. It could even have the implication here, he looked on him. He stopped before him. In any case, he came to this man sitting at the receipt of custom. We call him a tax gatherer. And that this man, in business, you could call him a banker, and it would be something like that. He was dealing in finances. And he saith unto him, Follow me. There would come in Matthew's experience at this time a specific call, presenting a practical, specific situation of demand upon him. He looked on him as he and called him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, as we go on from there, Matthew does not make it too clearly that it was he that prepared this banquet, but in other stories we have it clearly. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. That is, when Matthew did decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What you have is that he made what would amount to a banquet and called a great many people together. I personally think it's quite possible that Matthew would naturally call his own friends. And since Matthew himself had been a man of the world, they'd be men of the world. This is what it says. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. He sat down for a meal to eat in the house, probably the house of Matthew. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. I think personally they were friends of Matthew, business friends. And many of them came and were attracted at this time to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not unusual when a man of some importance and a man of ability and of confidence in the business world becomes an earnest Christian. Many other people get interested because they think to themselves, if that man who is as capable as he is and he thinks there's something in it, maybe there is something in it. Certainly publicans and sinners were here. And they sat down with the Lord Jesus and with his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? There is implied a criticism there. These Pharisees were people who tried to be good with religious exercises. They were religious people. And they saw the Lord Jesus sitting down to eat with worldly people. And they said, What does he want to do that for? I think the implication could very well be that if he was a real spiritually minded man and really was preaching and teaching the things that make for a true religion, you'd expect to find him with the religious people. But the Lord Jesus was here in the midst of the people you would call worldly people. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why does he associate with them? And this brings to our mind that very likely when the Lord Jesus was here during his public ministry, he conducted himself in such a way that he many times was associated with people that were not church people. They were not religious people. They were people of the world, and he associated with them. When Jesus heard that, when it came to his attention what they said, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Something almost in the sense of a proverb. You don't need a doctor if you're well. You only need a doctor if you're sick. The implication is, I'm in the world to doctor. I came into the world to help sick people. If I came into the world to help sick people, that's who I'm going to have to be with. And this brings out a very interesting thing. If the gospel is for sinners, then who should the preachers of the gospel be associating with? Take, for instance, the matter of medicine. You have some doctors that you know. They spent most of their time with what kind of people? You know as well as I do, they spend most of their time with the sick. Does that mean the doctor's sick? Or does that mean the doctor isn't any good because he associates with the sick people? No, all that means is that the people are sick and that they need a doctor. Certainly he is working to get them well. But the truth of the matter is that people who are well, healthy, and well, they don't need a doctor, but the people who are sick. And so it is with reference to the gospel preaching. The gospel preaching should be done on behalf of people who really need it. It isn't so much that it should be done for people who already have the blessing of God. It should be done for the people who don't have it, because they're the ones who really need it. They that be whole need not a physician, the healthy don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now notice this phrase, go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. That is to say, what I really want, the word will is, what I want, what I really will to have, what I wish to have, what I'm looking for, is mercy, not sacrifice. You see, mercy is something God does. Mercy from God to man. Sacrifice is something man does. Sacrifice is from man to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is far more interested in what God will do for me than what I will do for him. That's just what it amounts to. I am come, he would say, I will to have mercy. And this is what he's interested in. That God's going to have mercy on the poor and not sacrifice, not that God's going to collect from them some sort of tribute from them, that they're going to pay their way into his presence, not that kind of thing. And this is what the Lord Jesus urged upon them and wound it up by saying this, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to call the righteous people to reward them. He came into this world to call the sinners to save them. So that it is not his ambition that the righteous should be called that they might be approved. His ambition is that sinners might be called that they might confess their sin, that they might repent. In case any one of us should for the moment think, isn't that too bad, that the Lord Jesus actually is turning away from human beings and is actually ruling out a certain class, I feel like reminding you right away, there is no man that sinneth not. And really and truly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then how shall we understand such a passage as this? Suppose we put it this way. There could be people who think they're righteous, and there could be people who think they're sinners. Now, they're not both true. They're not both right. Those who think they're righteous are actually making a mistake. Those who think they're sinners, they're really true. But apart from that, as long as a person has it in mind, as long as a person feels that he's righteous, he won't have his heart open for the Savior. He won't care about the things that you say, as long as he thinks he's all right. But when a man knows he's a sinner, and he knows deep down in his heart that he isn't what he ought to be, he will look for help. Now, by the way, when the Lord Jesus associated with sinners, he didn't associate with sinners because they were right. He didn't associate because it didn't matter. He didn't associate with sinners because he was just going to overlook sin. It wasn't because these sinners were right. If I wanted to use a word, I'd say it was because they were ripe. He actually knew the time had come to bring them. He wanted to have them and win them to God. They needed help. They would accept it. Let me put it to you this way. As long as a person thinks he or she's all right, they don't need a Savior. All they need is a little approval. All they're looking for is a reward. They think they're doing pretty well. And may I say to them right now that the Lord Jesus, so far as he is concerned, he would not have anything special to do with them there. As long as a man thinks he's good enough, as long as he thinks he's got it, then the Lord Jesus isn't going to be doing anything for him. It's the man who feels the need. It's the humble and the contrite heart, the broken-hearted one who really feels he isn't what he ought to be. It's the poor in spirit. Those are the ones that will receive help, because the Lord Jesus will come actually to help them. And because they will accept help, that's one thing, but more than that, they want it and they ask for it and so on. And so we have this brought out on this occasion, this instance when the Lord Jesus in his public testimony was actually criticized because he associated with sinners so much. He went around with people who were not what you would call religious people. But he didn't go around with them because he liked the way they were. He didn't go around with them because he approved that. He went around with them because they needed him and he wanted to help them. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. Encourage us to put our trust in Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.